right? Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome and thank you for joining us on the third Sunday of Advent as we celebrate and praise God's name. It's good to see so many familiar faces and some new friends as well. A few announcements before we get started. Remember, Christmas is a busy season, but a lot of things going on in the life of the church. We just continue to remind people that masks continue to remain optional in worship. We're still requiring those if you want to sing along to some of your favorite Advent hymns and Christmas hymns. We ask you to put your mask on at those times. There are masks in the back for those of you that forgot it for those purposes or any others. And we still encourage those of you who feel most comfortable with a mask on to continue to wear them. We want everyone to feel comfortable in our sanctuary. The elders have decided we will have one candlelight love feast Christmas Eve worship service at 7 p.m. There will be overflow seating available in the fellowship hall. We look forward to being able to celebrate Christmas Eve in person this year. The joint board is meeting tomorrow night at 6:30 in person. The elders will follow after that. We'll have a chance to go over our agenda for church council and as well go over our budget for next year, which will be presented at church council. And speaking of that, please get your year-end reports for your committees submitted to Carolyn by December 19th, so by next Sunday. That way it gives us an opportunity to get our reports out 2 weeks in advance of our church council, which is January 16th. So it is a great benefit if you can get those in as soon as you can. The Unity Prayer Watch, those of you who are unfamiliar with the Unity Prayer Watch, the Unity Prayer Watch is Moravians being in prayer 24/7 around the globe. So every hour on every day, you can count on a Moravian being in prayer for our world someplace across the world. In North America, our month is December, and our date this year is Friday, December 17th. We have 4 spots available. You can sign up in the back, and we actually have some pretty good time slots this year, no 2 to 3 a.m.s. So there's an opportunity for those of you who are morning prayer people, evening or afternoon, to sign up for that. And don't feel like even if there's a spot signed up, you can sign up as well to have multiple people in prayer. That is welcome as well. The trustees are asking that you consider a Christmas gift for the church furnace fund. We're making some improvement to our furnaces and air conditioning units in the fellowship hall, and we will have a proposal ready for you for church council, we are hoping. We already have raised over $4,000 in that fund, and we're hoping to raise at least $10,000 so we can go ahead and move forward with that project. So any gift you can give to that fund is greatly appreciated and will be utilized very quickly. Sunday, December 26th will be our ugly sweater Christmas, so you can wear either your ugliest or your best Christmas sweater, depending on your theological perspective, and there will be no Sunday school that day as well. We'll keep things light and easy the day after Christmas. Ruth Circle has been canceled for this following Monday. A lot of busy things going on in the month of December. And then the other thing I want to make special note of, please get, remember next week is our CEC Christmas special. So we're going to be having videos from all of our different families looped together. If you could get those dropped into the Google Drive for Emily as soon as possible, they're due today. So we can have that ready to go by this week. We would greatly appreciate that. We're really excited for this. I think it's going to be a great way to bring Christmas from our family homes into our church family. And even if there's something small you want to do, even if you feel like your house is just cluttered and you want to take 30 seconds in front of our tree here to film something after worship and share a favorite tradition, maybe you guys make cookies on a certain day or something like that, you're welcome to do that. We have never done this before, so it's going to be the best one we've ever done of it. So you have the opportunity to be a part of that, and we are grateful for the participation of as many people as possible. That's all I have for announcements at this time, so let us please stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. You may be seated. Our watchword today comes from Luke chapter 3, verse 5. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. Amen. This time I invite Katie and Allie up as they light the Advent wreath today.
Lighting a candle is a modest but significant act. It is a symbolic reminder to people of faith that God's love can transform even the darkest corners of our world. During the struggle of a pandemic, we especially need this reminder. As we light the candle, we begin our pilgrimage to celebrate the miraculous birth of Jesus. The third candle of the Advent wreath symbolizes peace. Christ was called to bring peace to this earth. This peace includes not only peace in our world, but peace in our anxious hearts. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 said, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." We light the third Advent candle this morning in honor of the Prince of Peace.
Dear Savior, our world and our lives are desperately in need of an everlasting peace that only you can provide. We pray for your peace to descend upon our hearts so that it may transform our world. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Katie and Allie. At this time, we will now sing our Advent lighting hymn, "People in Darkness Are Looking for Light," and we will sing verses 1, 2, and 3. Please stand if you'd like to. For those of you who are following along in your Moravian Book of Worship, that can be found on page 58, or 56, excuse me. And we will pray together the liturgy of Advent 2. And we will begin with the hymn.
For hope and expectation,
Christ, the light of the world, empower us to shine as lights in the dark world of sin.
Christ, the creative word, by whom all things were made, lead us into good stewardship of creation, that we and our children may preserve and enjoy the world entrusted to us.
Christ, the living truth, give us the spirit of wisdom and understanding that sees beyond temporal values to discern your truth and declare it.
Christ, our righteous judge, give us courage to stand by the poor, the meek, and the oppressed, and strengthen our support for all who are their advocates.
Christ, the Lamb of God, send us forth as your ambassadors of reconciliation in a broken and troubled world. Bring peace to the conflicts of the nations, races, and tribes.
We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that we might proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. May our lives show forth that which we truly are. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Please rise. May the Lord make us increase in love for one another and for all.
May the Holy Spirit strengthen us to become more like Christ as we eagerly await His coming.
Our first scripture is from Philippians 4, 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Our next scripture is from Luke 3, 7 to 18. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none. and the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them.
Amen. We now enter a time of prayer and reflection, and we uplift many prayers to God. We remind those of you who are joining us for worship online that we will have some prayer concerns that we can share publicly and others that will be shared privately on the screens behind us. Those of you who are members of our congregation, you can go to our weekly prayer chain. Friends of the congregation, we welcome you to take some personal prayer time and some reflection time as well. And I just want to remind everyone, if you don't see a prayer concern up there that you felt like you shared with either Delene and I or someone else, please remind us again. We've been getting a lot of prayers in December, which I think is a good thing. It shows that we have an active and wonderful prayer life. But if you see something you thought we forgot, please, it was not something we did to smite you or to upset you. It's just something we probably forgot in the list of many prayers. So feel free to send us a reminder if we miss something. Right now, in our prayer concerns, we uplift to God many prayers. We think especially of the tornadoes that hit the Midwest and the South this week. A lot of devastation there. 50 people have been killed and thousands more who are without home and shelter this Christmas season. So may we continue to look for ways to uplift and support that. We also offer prayers for the family of Jason Heath. Prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to his family after his passing from COVID complication. He is a nephew to Joyce and Rick, a cousin to Ross and Tiff, so we definitely uplift the Heath family in prayer at this time. We also offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope for the family of Curtis Taggart, who is on life support but has been ruled brain dead. He would be Jeremy Smith's nephew. And we also offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Bill Smith, who passed away yesterday. He would be Jeremy Smith's brother. So a lot of prayers for the Smith family as they deal with a lot of grief and difficult circumstances. Also want to offer up prayers. I forgot to mention it in our announcement, but many of you are aware this week that our Toys for Tots building for the county had burned down with all of our toys in it. But the joy in that is there is currently a great community response to help this out. We've asked you in our weekly prayer chain to think about bringing some toys to donate. They'll actually be collecting from 1 to 3 at Tuscora Park, and Simpson Cooling and Heating will be matching any donations. So we'll also have a joyful noise after worship. So if you'd like to support that cause, we greatly appreciate that. And I know it is a heavy heart when we hear something like this, but you're going to see God alive and active in the response from this community. I've already heard it from all the churches and organizations that are stepping up, and we're going to see what God can do to rectify this situation. In our battle with COVID, we continue to uplift many people who have been afflicted with it. Many of us have people in this congregation or friends or family. We continue to uplift them in prayer. In specific prayers this week, I ask prayers for our emergency room staff, which have been dealing with a great deal of overflow. Many people have not been able to get service in the emergency room or have had to wait extended amounts of time for that. We have to keep those who show up for those jobs in prayer, who are dealing with a tremendous amount of stress and grief and difficulty with that, and just remind them that they are uplifted and cared for in many different ways. So let us take some time now to reflect, to uplift our concerns, our joys, and our worries to God. Let us invite God in this time of prayer. Loving Savior, we come before you united as a body of Christ. And we come before you with heavy hearts, with many prayer concerns on our minds. Help us to know that you are listening to each and every one, but there are many people among us who are dealing with grief, who are dealing with illness, who are dealing with life without a home or anxiety or stress, people who are dealing with COVID, people who are helping people with COVID. Gracious God, help us to understand that this is not a sign that you are asleep, but a sign that you are working and in the midst of every single one of those prayer concerns. So help us to pay attention to you and what you do for each and every one of us. And gracious God, we realize that coming together in worship is also an opportunity for us to offer or to ask for forgiveness for you, for our sins and our shortcomings, for the mistakes we've made, for when we've been selfish, when we put our needs before others, when we've been angry towards others and expected mercy for ourselves, when we've struggled to have a kind word or to assume the best in others. Forgive us, gracious God. Blot these transgressions out and remind us that we walk anew with you. And the second we ask for forgiveness from our lips, it is granted by you, for us, and through us, by the blood of your salvation. And we are so grateful for that. So this Christmas season, as those anxieties continue to weigh heavy on us, as our concerns and worries grow, help us to just take a deep breath and remember that you, God, have got this. You, God, are taking care of us, and you, God, are watching over us. So help us to breathe a little easier this Advent season, knowing that our Messiah is coming. We get to witness a miracle, and we can live in the gratitude, grace, and mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We now turn our hearts and our minds to our offering, and once again reminding everyone there'll be no offering plate going up and down the pews, but we do have a plate in the back for any of you who'd like to make a donation in person. Online, you can go to scmchurch.org. And as we support community organizations, obviously our Joyful Noise for Toys for Tots is very important to our hearts and minds. So hopefully we can give a little bit in the Christmas spirit to our kids in need. At this time, may you please stand as we join together in the offertory prayer. Loving Savior, we give thanks for the gifts that we have been given this Advent season. Help us to share them with those in need. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we turn our attention to our children's chat. I want to invite our kids to bring out their whiteboards, and any adults, if you want to participate as well, you are welcome to join us as well. So we're going to talk about today our signs, things that we know that are in front of us, that point to us, that let us know where we're going. And the thing you should know is long ago, like let's just say like 2004, people actually had to like look at signs to know where they were going. They couldn't just look at their phone on their dashboard. They had to look like, oh, Walmart's 2 miles ahead. I have to look at that sign. My GPS just isn't going to tell me. So signs have always played an important role in our lives. So I have a little exercise for you. I'm going to ask you to draw two different signs, one on the front side of your board and one on the back side of your board. So on the front side of your board, I want you to imagine that for 24 hours, for some reason, you took some medicine or something, and you found out that you could not speak. You were healthy, you could do everything else in your life wonderful, but for 24 hours, you could not talk. You could not say a word from your mouth. And guess what? It's the first day of school. Oh, yeah, yeah, there's a caveat right there. So I want you to build a sign that advertises what you're about, knowing that you can't say a word to anyone. So what would you put on that sign? And those of you who are adults, imagine it's your first day at work at a new place. What would you put on that sign if you couldn't say a single word to somebody? What would you put on there? How would you let them know who you are and what you like? My wife is working on mine. You're just putting a Green Bay Packer helmet there, and you're already halfway there. And across, then boom. Yeah, what would you put on your sign? All right, let's see what some people got. Brandon, let me see what you got on your sign. My name is Brandon. There's a good place to start. I play soccer, baseball, and basketball. I have two brothers, absolutely. Family and hobbies, that's a good one. Hi, I'm Paige the Great. Ooh, I like that. When is lunch? Missy's honest right there. Hi, I'm Jacob, and I'll tell you about me tomorrow. There you go. I like that, Aubrey. You got some pictures. Soccer, scoring a goal. What does Ryland have? Paper. Stuff about me. Absolutely. That's stuff you could put in there. Tyler, what do you got? He's still going. Da Vinci's going. You guys, let me see what you got so far, then we can go from there. Let's see, my name is Tyler, I play soccer, basketball, and football, and I like the Browns. I play guitar, absolutely. So maybe you could play some music for people if you weren't able to speak that day. Does anybody else have anything they want to share? Emily, let me see yours. About me, things that are important, things that help me. There we go. There's somebody who's a case manager getting us nice and organized right there. I like that. Anybody else have anything they want to share? All right, so for your second one, this is going to be a little more difficult, a little bit more spiritual. So on your backside, I want you to draw a picture as if it was your first day going into a new church and you had the same restrictions. You couldn't speak for 24 hours. And people wanted to know how you believe in Jesus or why you believe in Jesus. What would you put on that sign to let them know that you are a disciple of Jesus? All right, let's see some responses. Oh, there we go. There's a good one. Emily said, I don't need a test on my first day of church. She already played the pastor. Praying, absolutely. Hymns, music. My dad's a pastor. There you go. Use that card. Jesus, I love Jesus. Keep it simple. A Bible and a cross, absolutely. Let me see what you got, Ryan. You got a Bible too. That's awesome. Oh, you got the manger scene in the cross. That's good. Tyler's got that too. That's awesome. Yeah, so I love those connections. We especially in the Christmas spirit right here. Does anybody else have anything they want to share? Amy's got one too. That looks really cool. That's funny. That's awesome. So, when we're thinking about signs, cross from Cali, excuse me. That looks really cool. I like that. You got the cross and you got your name. So you're identifying yourself in the center of Jesus. I like that. Right in the middle of the cross. So to bring this in, there's a lot of different ways we project ourselves into the world. And we're going to talk about the importance of signs. How we show ourselves to the world means a lot. And sometimes we do it with our words. That's our easiest. Sometimes we do it with our nonverbal gestures. How open we are we smiling? Are we happy? Are we doing things to let people know that we care and we're interested in them? There are a lot of signs in our world. And the most important sign, though, that we have to show the world that we are loved by God and we're willing to share that love with other people. And guess what? You don't need a lot of words. You don't need a big sign to be able to do that. You just need to be willing to let God's love into your heart. So kids, I hope you're able to experience and feel that. And remember, sometimes you may not be able to write it perfectly. You may not be able to say it perfectly. But if you can show people that you love God, you can do wonderful things in this world. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we come before you and are so grateful for the signs that point us to your birth. We're also thankful for the signs that we get to experience in our life that point us to you. So help us to be signs for your love. Help us to show others what it's like to glow with the light of Christ, that it truly makes a difference in our lives and in our world, that we may feel that love, hear that love, and experience that love in all times and in all places. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. So for our message today, we're going to do things a little bit differently. Many of you know how much I love my manuscript, and so I'm trying to challenge myself to go a little bit beyond that and have a little more interaction with you all. So I want to start today, as you kind of got from our children's chat, we were talking about signs. Big signs. And I was thinking about, when this text came out, the big signs that we see in our community. And we see signs like this from our gospel text. Have you seen this sign? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Luke chapter 3, verse 8. Maybe you haven't heard this verse, but maybe you've seen somebody with something similar walking around at Walmart outside or downtown on a Friday night where they have something very similar, very in your face, kind of bear fruit worthy of repentance, or the end is coming. How many of you have seen people like that in our town, in our community? I've seen a lot, especially this Christmas season. Where are some of the places you've seen these people? Cheryl?
On the way.
On the way, yep, absolutely. What are some of the other places? I saw somebody at Bueller's last week outside there.
Dover Square.
Walmart seems to be a big one every Friday afternoon. Any other places? Okay, yeah, absolutely. All over the place. And I carry this sign not to make fun of, but just to remind us that we see signs that are in our face all the time that say something like this, Luke chapter 3, 8, bear fruit worthy of repentance. It's very in your face. Sometimes it can come from people I like to call, jokingly, chicken little Christians, where they're always talking about the sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Well, I'm here talking about we have 2 feet on the earth, we can love this earth, and we can take care of it. And I think we have to remind ourselves that there are two options. And John presents us those two options in that scripture. We can be the people with the angry sign. It's not very angry in purple. Usually it's in red if it's a big angry sign telling people that they need to repent or the time is coming. But this is the words speak to us, bear fruit worthy of repentance. And that's how John starts his passage today. In fact, he gets all excited and he yells, brood of vipers, bear fruit worthy of repentance. And there's some people who stop right there. They stop where John's anger is, and that's what they fixate on. But then John goes deeper. And he says, bear fruit worthy of repentance. And then he adds, you could build stones right here and call them children of Abraham. You could take these stones, throw them up, and they could be children of Abraham. Your actions have to matter. And so John lays out how. How do we bear fruit worthy of repentance? And I think about these four things, Because wouldn't it be great if you saw people like Moravians or other Christians standing next to these people saying, bear fruit worthy of repentance, and then you see the Moravians sitting next to them, how you could do this? Number one, if you have an extra coat, give it to somebody who doesn't have a coat. John is talking about compassion, giving something to somebody, helping somebody. If you have extras, give it to somebody who needs it. We can't get more simple than that. Number two, there's a good one for our accountants. Don't cheat on your taxes right there, right? That's what he lays out for people. He's talking about in his time, the tax collectors who are charging extra people, so the Roman government gets all their money. He's also talking to people in our generation, billionaires and millionaires who write off tons of losses and make it look like they're really poor, but somehow Jeff Bezos is still able to get in his trip to the moon every year, whatever he does now, whatever way that happens. But be honest. Don't cheat on your taxes. Number three, don't extort money from other people. And again, a lot of financial stuff on here that John is talking about. But think about it. Finances dictate our lives in many ways. So he's talking about to people, if I ask Tim, hey Tim, I need $50 to be able to watch the Packer game on Sunday Ticket, and I know that I'm not going to pay Tim back those $50, I shouldn't be asking for it, should I? Right, Tim?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. But he's also talking about to organization and institutions. We have some issues in our country where people will loan money to people, and they know that they can't pay it back, and they charge enormous interest rates. And one of the things I learned from my internship in Detroit, Michigan, when I did a summer there in Westland, actually, which is a suburb of Detroit, I could tell how impoverished the community was by how many payday loans existed in that community. I knew I was in a bad neighborhood if there was a payday loans there, because they were scalping on people. They would give people loans at enormous rates, 20% interest, 15% interest, 30% interest. You see it advertised on our TVs every day now, don't you? You can pay for just $25, you can get your paycheck 2 days early, right? That's such a good deal, right? Just get your paycheck when it comes, people. Come on now. Don't pay to have your money early when you can schedule it. And number four, be happy with what God has given you. That was kind of John's message to the soldiers in front of you. And I think that is such an important message for each and every one of us. Because the soldiers were talking about, oh, well, we could have this with our lives. We could have this. And John was talking about being happy with what you have. And we spend so much of our lives as Americans right now focused on upgrading, right? That's a big word that you hear. We need to upgrade our phones. We need to upgrade our lives. We need to upgrade our cars. We need to upgrade our houses. And that's not bad things, but we need to be content with what we have today, that we can truly be happy with what we already have and be joyful in it. And I think a lot about it. It's funny, but I think a lot of it about being happy with ourselves, with how we are created in the image of God. And one of the things Emily and I have been joking quite a bit is just the number of celebrities and stars who are afraid to look their age right now. And so I'm talking about all the people that I grew up watching in the 90s and early 2000s, and now you see them on TV shows as moms and dads, and they get all this plastic surgery, and they look like a fish by the time they're done with it. They try to smile on TV, and like, I'm like, you paid $50,000 for that smile. You need a receipt for what you got, because you literally can't even smile. And I think about what a shame that is in our society, that we're afraid to look and be our age, because every line, every crow's eye, we've earned that in some respect. And it's good when we look, we present the wisdom and age that we have. It's good to have fault lines, to show people that we are not perfect. And I think what I want to use that sign for as a metaphor is because it calls us to action. Because what John is saying is if you want to say that you are a Christian, you got to do something about it. Stones could literally be Christians, but we are called to make a difference. And the other part that I love about those four precepts that John is talking about is it has to impact our day-to-day lives. We can't just put all of our attention and all of our focus on the end of days, but what John is talking about, giving your coat to someone who needs it, that's something you could do daily. Don't cheat people out of money. And be happy with what you have. Imagine if you started every day just recognizing that you have all that you need. You have all you need. God has given us so much. And I think especially in the Christmas season, that's an important thing for us to memorize. Because it can be so easy to be sitting on Amazon and adding things to our wish list and thinking about how happy we would be with all these additional things that sometimes we just have to take a step back and realize we have everything we need. And the other passage I want to talk about today briefly is Philippians 4:6, which says, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." This is a powerful scripture verse. It's one of the most famous verses of scripture, but it is one that I really struggle with. Because when you hear those words, "Do not worry," anybody tells you not to worry, that makes me worry twice as much, right? Why? You told me not to worry. Now I'm worrying about why I'm worried. Thank you, therapist, for that. Let me give you $50 for that. And I get the anxiety of, oh, I shouldn't be worrying. So now I'm worrying and I shouldn't be. And it just builds and builds for each and every one of us. And I see familiar smiles. You know what that's like when people give us an absolute to say, don't worry about the mortgage. Don't worry about your health. Don't worry about your stress. Because the truth is, we do worry. We do struggle. We do have anxiety, even if we are Christians, especially if we are Christians. We have those concerns. But I think what we have to hear, what Paul is saying there, is don't let that anxiety or that worry dominate you. Don't let that be your driving life force. When I hear that text, let me tell you the Lippert translation of that. Do not try to fix anything or anyone. Thank God for the opportunity to grow from all people and challenges. Be gentle in all circumstances. And I think that's important, that so much of our anxiety comes from us wanting to fix people and situations that only God is capable of redeeming. So we need to take a step back and realize that we have the presence of anxiety. But we do not have to treat it as a prison. We do not have to let it rule our lives. And we have the opportunity to grow from God in all times and in all places. And the last example I want to share with you about that is I remember the story of a father and son. And they were asked one time, what was the best moment of your childhood? And then somebody asked the father, what was the best and worst moments of your son's childhood, being a parent, kind of looking at it and reflecting at it. And the dad said something. He said, the 2 years that I was laid off from my job were the worst 2 years of being a parent. Because I didn't feel like I was providing in the way I wanted to. I was home all day with my child, and I didn't feel like I was stepping up as a parent as the way I wanted to. But then his child said something that surprised him. Because somebody asked him, what's the best moment of your childhood? You know what that kid said? It was the 2 years I got to spend with my dad every day. That was the best moment of my childhood. Because I got to see him. I got to have breakfast with him. I got to have lunch with him. I got to go outside and hit baseballs with him. He wasn't too tired from work and all this other stress. And for me, those were the best moments. Because we have the ability to grow from every single circumstance that is in front of us. And I think that's important. That's why worry and anxiety shouldn't dominate us. Because God is going to work through it. Even in the moments that we think are so difficult, they're beyond redemption. It could be helping someone next to us. And think if that parent would have noticed that opportunity sooner, how much they would have gained from that as well. Because our message today, when we hear that sign, when we see that sign in front of us telling us that we need to bear fruit worthy of repentance, I want you to remember when you see those in your face signs that Jesus and John lay out the how and the why. And they tell us to trust in God. Trust in God's ability to redeem all people and circumstances. And we have to mean it. We can't just go through the motions. It has to impact our day-to-day life. And that is why we do not worry. We do have some worry, but we do not let our worry dominate us. Because we know that God can build stones from Abraham, but out of us, out of our faith that is poured out, we can feel and experience the wonderful things that God has done with us and for us. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you, and I just want to say thank you for this congregation. Thank you for their willingness to step foot in this sanctuary today or to join us online, and just help each one of us remember that when we are confronted with difficult steps as Christians and we are told to bear fruit worthy of repentance, help us to get back to the basics, the simple hows, to give coats to those in need, to not cheat people, to love God, to not extort or use others, and finally to be happy with what God has given us. If we could learn that, we could truly transform and change the world. Because satisfied believers remind people, those who just keep looking for things, for cars and houses and material goods, and coming up empty, that what we need has already been given to us. It has already been poured out for us. So help us to find that faith in our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together to sing one of our favorite Advent hymns.
Thank you.
forget about our opportunity to give to Toys for Tots and help our community in need. May I offer the words of benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.